This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 1 hour down, two to go. We got satisfaction coming your way here on Warriors This Week, 95.7 The Game. You know, it's funny, like we were discussing, beginning about 8 a.m., not really too hungry. Breakfast, the pangs don't start to kick in yet. But if I had to guess at 10 a.m. what you would break a fast with, Reese's Cups would not have been on the menu.
Reese's? Oh, I thought I made a rookie mistake and forgot to turn my mic, but I'm here. Okay. Reese's?
Yeah.
Reese's are life. I assume that they have a little bit of protein because there's peanut butter in there.
No doubt.
But you know what? When you're down bad and your stomach sounds like a bear, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I was hoping it wasn't going to come across over the mic until end of that last segment. Just started growling a little bit.
I know. I was worried. Did anyone hear it? Was my stomach like, could you hear it? Because it was loud.
If we slow down and listen. No, I think you're all good now. You are satisfied. Right now what we're kind of like trying to, I think, figure out is where the Warriors right now stand at three games above 500. They play the Lakers later on tonight. 5:30 tip, 95.7 The Game. Warriors is live. We'll be at 4:30. And you know what the expectation is, right? So we're talking about Kuminga versus Wiggins. I think to me, it's got to be about development for the final 17 games. I mean, you want to remain competitive. Steph Curry's going to be back tonight, and that is always a good sign. But I also think Austin and San Jose wants to get into, I think, where everyone's mind is kind of headed, which is the future. So let's open up the phone lines here at 888-957-9570. Get out to San Jose. Talk to our guy, Austin. Austin, what's up? You're on with Whitley and Evan.
What's up? What's up, E? Hi, Whit. Good morning. Great conversation. You guys are representing the younger generation, which is always great. I got a couple comments on this. One is I think we are talking about the future. I view Warrior games now in the context of what it's going to look like over the next 2 years. I think this year it's unrealistic to expect this team to go very far. I think the veterans know that. You guys are talking about Steph, and I mentioned the other day that I don't think that the veterans are really motivated, that highly motivated to play in a playing game, to be honest with you. So I think that it's all about next year and the year after. And so here's my thoughts, guys. If you think 82-game schedule, realistic, Steph Curry can probably be accounted to be a one in maybe 55, 60 of those games. The question is who's going to pick up the slack for the other 27 or 30, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what you got to be thinking about next year is Steph's not going to be good for 82 games. He's going to be probably a one in maybe 50 games, 55 games. So who's picking up the slack? Who's the one plus? Do we really have a one plus? Do we have a two? My mind, we need to restructure the roster to some extent. I think we got to go get guys like Caruso, for instance, somebody you know what you're going to get every night. Is a pro. Knows what you're getting. These young guys are great. But they're still experimental. You guys say they're going to develop. Well, just because they're young doesn't mean they're going to get better. So mm-hmm. I think we got to get past the thinking that because they're 21, they're going to be good in 2 years. Well, maybe, maybe not. So I think we got to figure that out. And then last thing is, I hate to sound like a Moody hater, but I hear everybody going crazy about Moody. And the guy is just the guy. He's not I wouldn't even want to see him ever in the starting lineup. I don't think he's a starter. He doesn't guard wings very well. He's not the quickest guy. He doesn't shoot very well. We've seen that. So I don't know what all this discussion about Moody is. I mean, he's an okay guy, but I would trade him in a second to get a more consistent young player and a guy would have more skills. So that's kind of where my head's at, guys. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Awesome. Yeah. No, I think what, like, all that is fair. To me, Kuminga's got to be that guy. Like, I understand the restructuring of the roster, and we can get into that if you want. But in terms of who can kind of figure out, you know, where someone like Curry is going to not be the guy for, you know, if he was saying 20 or 30 of the regular season games, whether it's because of injury or just age, attrition, all the rest, Kuminga is, if you like it or not, he's the most likely candidate to pick up the slack.
Yeah, a couple things. I agree or disagree a little bit with the Moody stuff. I'm a big Moody fan. I think that he makes the winning plays. I think he does have an impact when he's out there. It's just him, you know, getting consistent minutes. So I'm a big fan of Moody. But I just zoned out. Where was I going with my point?
Moody being... Well, I think... Look, I'm with Austin in the sense I don't know why there's a ton of discussion about Moody at this point. But that's also because... I don't think he's going to play right now over Wiggins.
Like, no.
He's not. He's behind him on the depth chart. And that's been one of my frustrations with Andrew Wiggins throughout the year. And Dan DeVone and I have kind of tossed this around throughout the year on this particular program. To me, if we're talking about restructuring the roster, it starts with 22. Like, yeah. It starts with Wiggins. And that might mean that you're going to have to bite the bullet this offseason, and you're not going to be able to turn him like you turned Jordan Poole into a Chris Paul-type player. I don't think you're going to get a productive guy who also has a nice contract, who gives you some flexibility. No, you're going to have to eat it on Andrew Wiggins because of how inconsistent he's been since the best stretch of basketball he played in 2022. But if Austin wants to restructure the roster, if fans out there want to restructure the roster, I got my eyes squarely on Andrew Wiggins. He's the first block in my mind that would need to go.
But when you're talking about Jordan Poole, just think about like when Steph is out for however many games and you need that guy to step up. One thing you can say about Jordan Poole, when Jordan Poole was here, that's one thing he did. If Steph was out, he thrived in those moments. Like, he may not play defense, but you knew he was going to score the ball. And they don't have that now when Steph's out, which is obvious with them being 1-5 when Steph hasn't played this season. But that's one thing I have to give Jordan Poole credit for. He thrived in those moments when Steph was out.
No, whether he was doing dumb stuff on the court or being a turnstile on defense, he could score. And that's what we saw against Dallas. Warriors couldn't score.
No.
Without Curry, and it's unfair to ask a 36-year-old to do as much as he has, but they need his offense arguably now more than ever. And that's kind of a scary thought when he is, what, the second or third oldest player in the NBA? Like, you're asking that guy at that age to basically maintain what he's done in terms of efficiency. And to his credit, he has for the majority. Like, this, if he's back tonight and he maintains, you know, his health, he will play more games than he has at any point in his 30s. That's ridiculous.
Like, knock on wood. I'm so stitious, so when you're talking about this kind of stuff, I don't know if there is any.
Well, you know, you got your little noggin up top.
Is this paper?
Yeah. Well, but Curry's on pace to play more games than he has at any point in his 30s. And that's a testament to his work ethic. You talked about it. It's also one of the reasons why, just to take people behind the scenes, like while we're sitting there in the press conferences and waiting after a 7 o'clock tip until 11:30 p.m., just to hear what Curry's got to say. It's because he's working out after games. Like, he plays a game after he plays the game.
I don't think people realize exactly what goes in to what he does to keep his body the way it is, to stay in shape. It's so funny because each year, post-game pressers, they just gradually get a little bit longer and a little bit longer as we're waiting for Steph, and it's because he adds more. He lifts weights. He does a whole workout. Then also he's with the training staff. He's on the table. He's getting everything he needs to do. But yeah, now what if it's a 7 p.m. tip off? Mm-hmm. Typically Steph's average is he'll, you know, say if it ends around 9:30, lots of times he's not into the press conference room until 10:45, 11.
Yeah.
That's what he's averaging now.
It's interesting because, okay, like for example, they're playing LeBron tonight. Yeah, we've both been to various press conferences. Like, LeBron wants to get in and get out. Like,
yeah,
he's the first person on the podium after games, after Darvin Ham, whoever the head coach
is. Most stars are like that. Actually, yeah. Most players are like that. Steph Curry is the only one. He's like, nope, I'm going to go through my routine. This is what I'm going to do. And obviously, I'm Steph Curry, so y'all are going to wait on me.
Yes. Yeah, he's the money quote.
Yeah.
He's what you're waiting for.
And he's so good with the media. He's just an incredible human being.
And it actually is, I think, beneficial a lot. I don't know, maybe this is like inside baseball for people, but because you have the head coach who speaks, and then, you know, the Warriors will give you typically like 3 to 4 players before Curry comes out and talks last. Oftentimes, because of whatever the previous people have said, you know, like if Draymond's got a spicy quote or Klay Thompson says something that's funny, you can run it by Steph. Whereas you can't do that for most stars because yeah. They just want to talk about the game and just be done with it and go. Curry will sit there and you say, hey, you know, Draymond was talking up on this guy on the other team. Did you feel the same way? And he'd be like, oh, well, you know, here we go again. Got to stand up for my guy. But it does make things interesting because you always want to know what he has to say.
Yeah, and he always has something to say. And he always has a good remark about, you know, comments that were made previously before him.
Yeah, he keeps it 100, but he also keeps it level-headed.
Yeah.
And that's why he's the perfect star in many ways. And why I'm looking forward to having him back tonight, because he's expected to play, even though he's listed as questionable for tonight's game against the Los Angeles Lakers. 5:30 tip here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Live will be an hour before at 4:30, so looking forward to that. I don't know if we're in, you know, must-win territory, Whit, but from a 9-10 standpoint, this game is significant. You know, if you lose this game outside of a quick and, I don't know, you know, 9 out of 10 stretch, like you're probably going to be the 10 seed. I don't feel like they can fall any further than that, but I personally wouldn't like to go through 2 elimination games on the road. I know that the Memphis Grizzlies did that as the 9 seed in beating the Warriors a couple of years ago to get into the postseason. You know, to me, it's all about figuring out what you have for the future in these last 17 games. And so that is also why I think, you know, I forget if it was a caller earlier that brought it up. I do think the vets are going to take this seriously. Now, Curry's someone that takes everything seriously. Yeah. Talk about his competitive nature. His health will be there, hopefully. But the vets have something to play for, too. And when I say the vets, I'm talking about Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and Chris Paul. All three of those guys have something to play for. I didn't include Looney just because he's been out of the rotation.
Yeah.
But those guys got to figure out where their basketball lives are going. And that's why I do think we will see them play hard, because their spot on this team beyond this season is not guaranteed for various reasons.
But with Chris Paul, how much can he show you, or how much can he prove at this point? You know what you're going to get with Chris Paul out there. He's a great point guard, you know, in that second unit. He keeps everyone under control. But at this point in his career, he's what, 39? You know, like, yeah, he's not going to score the ball like you need him to score. So it's like, I don't know if Chris Paul per se, there's a lot that he needs to prove, but definitely I think with Klay Thompson being the main one, also Andrew Wiggins. But with Wiggins, it's like, even if he does go on a stretch here where he's proving that, you know, flashes of that 2022 Andrew Wiggins, how far is he going to take that? And is he going to be like that again next year? Or is it going to be kind of up and down?
Well, the answer is probably the latter, because the majority of the evidence would suggest that Wiggins will be an inconsistent player. But why I think that those three vets, being Klay, Wiggins, and Chris Paul, have a lot to play for in the final 17 games is because, number one, Klay Thompson's a free agent, so he's playing for value, whether it's for the Warriors or for another team. I think a lot of groups are trying to figure out how Klay Thompson could fit with their team. And the Warriors are trying to determine whether or not Klay Thompson off the bench is a viable piece to a contending team. At what value? Wiggins, I think his value is also connected to the final 17 games, because the Warriors might want to move off of him completely. They might also figure out that Wiggins, if he can restore a piece of what he had a few years ago, can be a valuable member, whether it's in the starting lineup or off the bench. At the end of the day, you need wings, and he is a two-way wing when he wants to be. And finally, Chris Paul, I wouldn't say it's more so for the Warriors, but I think he's going to showcase what he can bring to another team next season, because I don't think he's going to be back. I think that was always the plan. Whether it was at the deadline to move off him or in the offseason, his contract is a perfect place for the Warriors to kind of begin to pivot and get under the tax. But I think he's got something to showcase for other teams out there that would like his services as now a sixth man or a second unit point guard. So all three of those players, I know people have said that there's not much for the vets to play for or prove, but I think those three players absolutely have things to prove more individually than from a Golden State Warriors standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. It's them and then also just them and the young guys. They're the ones who have so much to prove.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. That is Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to San Mateo. Talk to Steel Toe. Steel Toe, how we doing? What's up?
Good morning, fellas. Hi, Whitley. Evan.
Hey. I'm a fella.
Yeah. No, it's a great war talk. You know, I'm just like everybody else. So I just wanted to watch the young guys develop and really see what I'm really looking for is to really see if Kerr could get the combinations right with like with Kuminga and Jackson Davis, do a pick and roll and really attack the basket. This is, you know, it's a lot of kind of contradiction on this roster. You know, it's they're not attacking the paint more, and they want to shoot jumpers, and there's not a lot of jump shooters on this team. So it's kind of a lot of weird contradiction. I'm just waiting for like fun combinations of see if Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kuminga can actually work together and be dominant in the paint. Thank you.
Gotcha, Steel Toe. Yeah, I got. Excuse me. I'm not there yet. Trayce Jackson-Davis into the starting lineup to me is too little too soon. I think he's a good player. He's gotten a lot better over the course of this season. But Draymond on the bench, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, no, you can't. And you can't play Trayce Jackson-Davis alongside Draymond. Like, that's just not gonna work.
Yeah, and that's another kind of weird place the Warriors are, because they don't have a ton of shooting at the four or five beyond really Šarić, who's kind of just become unplayable. You can't play two bigs. I mean, I felt like we found that out last year during the postseason, whether it was in the Sacramento or even the Lakers series. I know the Lakers had size, but when the Warriors tried to go big, Looney and Draymond together on the floor just made things so much more difficult for everyone else.
Yeah, the spacing's just out of whack.
And I think they... Did Trayce start the game that they lost to San Antonio? Yes, he did. And Mark Granny behind the glass is nodding. So
the goat.
The gamote. Ducks are in trouble today, Mark?
Oh, they beat Arizona yesterday. We're out of the Pac-12 final.
Oh, wow.
Lock it up.
But yeah, that game where Trayce Jackson-Davis started, Steve Kerr said it was really only for defense, knowing that was going to be a struggle offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know it's a small sample size, but I just think those kinds of issues are going to be problematic. Like, we're just joking. I know Draymond shoots 45% from three. Every other team could care less. Like, whether he shoots 25 or 65%, he's taken 3 to 4 threes a game. And to the caller's point, he's right. And that's where I think Klay Thompson he still fits. They don't really have any shooting on this team outside of Curry, at least consistent volume shooting. And so unless this offseason you're going to go and find me two or three consistent three-point shooters, which are at a premium in this league in which shooting is valued, Klay kind of still plays an important role. And I think off the bench is more so where that place is.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to think about who they could go get, you know, I honestly don't know who they could get that would bring more, I guess, shooting than Klay, because like you said, they need shooting. Like, that's obvious. They need someone behind Steph who can shoot the ball, but I don't know who's even available or who will be available that they could get that maybe would make even more of an impact, I guess, than Klay.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't going to be sexy names, but like my hope would be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope prices himself out of Denver, doesn't opt in. I think he's got like $15 million on a player option. That could be someone you could go out and acquire. And then it'd be some bench players. And it'd be like Gary Trent from Toronto, who's a 40% three-point shooter. Doug McDermott's going to be a free agent. Like, those are shooters.
Yeah.
But how do they actually fit? Because I think one of the flaws of the roster, or at least from what we've seen, is that they have a lot of specialized players. There aren't a ton of guys. And I think this is maybe why people look at Wiggins as the key to all this, because he's one of the few guys that has the ability at full go to be a two-way player, to do multiple things. I don't know how many guys on this roster outside of Curry. I mean, even Draymond is more defensively geared than offensive, yeah, and always has been. But there aren't a ton of guys that do everything. And that those players are hard to find, but like Gary Payton II is more of a defensive player. I think at this point, Kuminga is probably more of an offensive player. Trayce Jackson-Davis can help you on both, but he's not a starter. In their lineup, I think Pajemski is more offensively driven, but he's not really a scorer. So they don't have a ton of players right now that can do multiple things. And that's where Kerr's job, I think, has been really difficult this year of trying to mix and match his lineups and rotations when he's got his full complement of characters.
Exactly, because, I mean, it's like, how do you figure that out? And, I mean, technically, like they've been saying all season, they have a deep roster, but players are very specialized to what they do, and there isn't, you know, someone who's a really good two-way player who can do all these things, and that's, I think, why Steve struggled to figure out the rotations, and it's changed so much.
Yeah, so 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game, taking up until 12 o'clock, as we do every single Saturday. Also, the number for the Comcast Business text line. From the 609, road games against the Lakers are always home games like at Chase. Warriors fans take over their building. It will be a win tonight. Well, I hope the last part is correct, but I think that, I don't know how you feel, just like you've been to more road games than I have, Whit. Like when you, how much does the environment change, or has it changed in recent years? Like, I don't look at a ton of road games or buildings as being as feisty, or like maybe TD Garden was probably
TD in Garden was insane.
Like Boston,
yeah.
But
of course, that was the finals.
Series.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. But TD Garden, I haven't been there during a regular season game, but I've heard that it's crazy regardless. But something that shocked
me. It sounded like they were up for the game that the Warriors got blown out in.
Yeah.
Like, they were up for that game.
But if you're there pregame, you're there early when Steph's warming up, it's still incredible the amount of fans at TD Garden who are just there, like, oohing and awing over Steph Curry during his warm-ups. It's insane, because like that's the place you go to and you don't think you're gonna get that, but Steph just has this, I don't know, this aura everywhere he goes. It's just these fans are obsessed with him. But TD Garden, that one was very, very hostile. Like that one was crazy. Even like leaving after the game, I was like, huh, this is interesting. You have like Celtics fans just passed out on the street, because like there, you know, the tip-off is obviously so late. So I was getting out of TD Garden at like 2 a.m. and there's just like fans like passed out on the street. But yeah, no, TD Garden's, the energy there is insane.
Yeah, and I don't know how many regular season games fans are as energetic, you know, as hostile of an environment as it can be than it is in the postseason. But I think that's also where, again, the game just, it changes from regular to postseason. And the biggest problem that the Warriors have had since they've won the championship is that they have not been able to get through the regular season and position themselves in a spot that is advantageous for the playoffs. You know, last year, I think they got a great matchup against the Kings. Credit to them, they won that series. By the time they got to Los Angeles, who's also a relatively older group, they're younger this year, but was relatively old last year, they were kind of gassed. This season, if best case scenario, even if they win, they upset one of the top seeds and they get to a second round series, like I was telling you this before the show, the math of them winning two elimination games and then winning 4 of 7 essentially means you have to win the best of 11.
Yeah.
You have to win 6 games basically in 2 weeks just to get to the second round. And that is a daunting kind of road for me. It's going to be really hard. So again, even if they get through the first round, to be able to win a second round and then win it, like, I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up, because in addition to the team, according to someone like Steph, being relatively average throughout this season, the road that they'll have to try and traverse the rest of the way is, it's just, it's really hard to do.
Yeah, and I mean, I, like I said, I don't think that they have high expectations on how far they're going to make it, regardless of what Steve Kerr says, saying they can make a deep playoff run. But I do think that if they could get into the first round, like we've been talking about, they do want to get that experience for the young guys. And I think maybe that's like their realistic goal, mm-hmm, is if they can get out of this play and make it to the first round, just to get them the experience, even if they get swept in the first round. I'm going to say it, but
or gentlemen's, how about a gentleman's sweep?
I would never, you know, before last year, I'm always taking this core. I'm always taking the Warriors in a 7-game series. But then last year, I feel like that's where it's kind of like, open my eyes a little bit just to see. It's like, oh, okay, well, this, and I hate when people are always, obviously age is a big thing.
Yeah.
But like I've said, it's just two teams have just gotten better, especially in the West. So they're just only going to make it so far. Previously, I was always taking them in a 7-game series, but.
They've gotten better and they've gotten younger.
Yeah.
The best teams in the league either have a perfect fusion of young and old, and not even old, but just players in their prime. Like Denver, Jokic is one of their old, he's 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics, who have been the best regular season team so far in the NBA, you know, their two stars are 28 and 27, I think. You know, it's about dudes, it's about players, but it's about guys that are in their prime and playing at the peak of their careers. The Warriors have players, I think, that have the ability to grow, and I'm very excited to see where they go. But maybe what we get into next is, how do those timelines match? Again, like the gap between Stephen Curry and Jonathan Kuminga, in my mind, the two most important players moving forward, is 15 years. That is a huge gap in age between a player that you hope can continue to play as a number one and a player that, I don't know, 5 years from now, you hope could be a number one. But I think Kuminga is how, that's the guy we got to start looking at as the key for this season, for the future, and how he can help in aging and still very good Steph Curry. So 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to dig into Kuminga. I think he also had some interesting comments earlier this week via Dubs Talk with Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area about a particular Laker that he would like to kind of center his basketball life around. I want to dig into that next as we move forward on Warriors This Week with Whitley Sandrota and Evan Giddings on 95.7 The Game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Whitley Sandrota alongside Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors This Week. Whit's got Harissa's cups. I got 9 cups of coffee. We are locked and loaded, ready to roll. Final half of the show here on a Saturday. It's been a lot of fun so far. What, you feeling comfortable? You sound like it.
I am, yeah. I'm getting in the rhythm, the little groove, and I feel good. My Reese's energized me. My stomach's not growling as loud, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, no, I see the people are feeling it on YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, the Comcast Business Text Line. All of our callers have been very complimentary. It has been a good show so far, and we got you up until 12 o'clock here. Have gotten in some of the expectations over the final 17 games. What are you looking for as development? I also think there's stuff to play for from kind of the three, I guess, swing veterans, should we call, Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins. I think there's emergence that can still be made by, I guess, the bench young guys, which would be Trayce Jackson-Davis along with Brandon Podziemski. But the guy that I think holds the key to where the Warriors both can go this season, but really the next couple of years, the years that as Steph Curry turns 36, we start to think about, which is the end of his career. And I think the key to where the Warriors can get to while Steph is still playing at a high level is Jonathan Kuminga. And it's interesting because when people hear key, they might think about Curry at the tail end of the, or at the end of the Lakers series last year, pointing at Poole's locker, Jordan Poole, and saying he's the key. Well, he's no longer on the roster. They decided to move off of him. I think the key's got to be Kuminga. And whether he's good enough to be that key, to unlock this team, to make it, you know, an astronomical leap, to put them and vault them back into contention, that remains to be seen. But when I heard him earlier this week with Monty Poole and Kareth Burke talking about how he wants to be a Warrior, he wants to be a lifer, I think from the place he was where his camp in December was saying, I don't have trust in Steve Kerr, I can't develop here, to where now he scored double digits in 43 of his last 45 games. He's a consistent offensive force. He has, you know, a few here and there, ups and downs, as any player does. But at least I feel like, Whit, I know what I'm getting from him offensively. And the fact that they don't really have a secondary scorer now that Clay's on the bench means he's even more important at age 21.
Yeah, and I think he's 100% the key. Now, how quick he can get there to be the key during the Steph era and to get him another championship, that's a different question. But Kuminga, the way he's changed, you know, like his tune since calling out Steve Kerr in, what was it, December?
It was his camp, yeah.
Yeah, his camp. Yeah, not him. Well, and he also, I think he made some comments, I think, in the locker room to someone. But
yeah, he wasn't happy.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Frustrated.
And people felt hit and miss with that, how he approached that. I liked it because I respected the confidence that that took. When you look back at, say, like a player like James Wiseman, I've referred to this a couple times, but James Wiseman had zero confidence. When you see a player like Kuminga who has the talent, he has the confidence, you just know that he has the potential to be, I think, a star. Like, he is the future of this franchise.
Yeah.
And I loved when he, like, you know, called it out. Because also, that him and Steve, they talked after that. They hashed it out. And then we saw how he was more, you know, part of a, you know, consistent rotation. And he got his minutes. Now, typically, the Warriors, they like to keep in-house, have those discussions. But yeah, coming in his camp, they kind of just went out with it. But I like that from the third-year player.
No, I mean, look, you want a guy with confidence. And it's funny, too, because, like, the brashness from Kuminga and Pajemski is, I think some people might think it's they're a little over their skis. Like, why is Pods calling out Wiggins on a fast break? Why is Pods preseason telling Draymond he can't turn over game ball? You know, why is Kuminga saying he's unguardable? Like, all these things, but, I mean, I don't know what you want them to do.
You have to have that.
You need that.
You have to have it to make it in this league. You have to have that irrational confidence. Even, you know, Clay, with his shooting in the past, before injuries, he's always been notorious about getting off to a very, very slow start. Where there's one thing he was always going to do, he was going to continue to shoot. And it's because he has that irrational confidence that it's eventually going to go in. This Clay that we see now post-injuries, it's, you know, a little bit different version of Clay. But if you're going to make it in this league, you have to have that irrational confidence that, you know, some players who don't have it, they're not going to make it.
Well, and someone like Draymond Green has always had irrational confidence. And that pissed a lot of people off when he came in the league. Now, he was in a much different place, and the team was successful immediately. But I like multiple players having a headstrong attitude in regards to how good they can be, how good the team can be. And I think that also builds chemistry, because you need a couple of guys. Like, I think most NBA folks associated with the Warriors as they were coming up is like the nice guys. And you look at Steph, you look at Clay, they're son of NBA players, you know, they're shooters, they're maybe they're more finesse. But both of those guys at their core are killers. Maybe they're not as expressive about it, but they are competitive, they are fiery. And you see it from time to time when both of them get demonstrative. But they always had someone like Draymond Green to be the voice, you know, or the representative of the dog that both of them had from a very early age, and really have had their entire lives, I imagine. Not to say Kuminga and Pajemski are just all of a sudden going to be the Splash Brothers and they're going to be the next wave of this. But that's a trait you need. Like, that's a necessary trait. And so I love Pajemski screaming at Wiggins.
Oh, I love that.
Give up the rock or finish strong, but you can't get fouled and then split free throws. Like, that's the kind of accountability also you want to see from players that you're hoping can be future leaders of your team.
Yep. Pod's confidence, he's had that since day one. Do you remember when Steiny and Guru did the show at Chase Center at the end of the season?
I was there.
And he walked in. Yeah, he's had that confidence since day one, and I absolutely love it.
it was my first drop of the day. Here's another one. So before the interview actually started, Pod sits down, and, you know, we're kind of talking to him, just like, hey, you know, it's like to be in Golden State, just kind of trying to make small talk. Because, like, you try and warm up the guest, especially if you have a commercial break, because you also don't want him to just sit there and be like, all right, when are we going to start talking? I got to get the hell out of here, which is kind of the body language that we got from him. But, you know, Goo and his son, Lil Daryl, they knew Pajemski through Santa Clara, because Lil Daryl was the the manager for Santa Clara, new pods. And so he was like, well, you know, he's kind of this guy. He's a little reserved, but he's good people, basically. So we're talking to him like, hey, where are you from? And he says something about going to like military school. Like that's kind of his upbringing. And so Steiny hits him with something like, I bet they wouldn't let you wear that hair in military school, huh? And Pajewski like kind of cracks a smile, but doesn't really give him much. And in my mind, I'm like, this kid is so locked in. I feel like that might be off-putting to some. You think he's being an ass, or you think that he's being, you know, cocky, but it's just an internal confidence that is, it's like it's natural. Mm-hmm. And you need that to be successful.
Yeah, he is very locked in. That's how he always is. And then the interview was absolutely fantastic. He gets on there and he just talks. You know, he's great. But yeah, before, he's always locked in. Always. Yeah,
Pajemski is. Kuminga has it, although it's like we see Kuminga smile more than Pajemski, I think.
Yeah.
On the court.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Kuminga, and I think this year he's also played with more joy. Just because from a basketball perspective, the game looks like it's slowing down for him. He's not there yet completely. Like, you know, I feel confident that he can kind of stumble into 15, 20 points. Like if he has a bad night, he's still going to get there just off his athleticism. I think he has made a more determined effort to drive as opposed to settle for three-pointers. The total attempts from threes are down. And part of it is also because he hasn't develop that shot yet. Mm-hmm. That might be the next part of his game. But, you know, for me, where I would like to see tonight, but also the last 17 games, is Kuminga, as well as Pajemski, take on the role of playmaking more. And Pajemski, I think, outside of Curry, maybe Draymond, but he's probably their second or third best playmaker on the team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a good thing necessarily, but it means he's got to be that guy.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's initially why he first started getting minutes, because they needed him out there, you know, to do that.
And then Kuminga is someone who I think has the ability to create for others, but is still in that kind of silo mode of, I can go and get mine whenever I want. And we've seen on occasion, like, the assists are ticking up, the rebounds are ticking up, but what I look for in a box score when I watch Kuminga each night, in addition to obviously watching him play, is just how are the other statistics in addition to scoring? What is he doing outside of scoring? Is he getting steals? Could he grab a block? Offensive rebounds? Those numbers that are also the same numbers, quite frankly, that I look at when I watch Andrew Wiggins play.
His free throw shooting's all been better as of late, too, I believe. Yeah. And that's important because he can get to the line very consistently, but before he was not hitting his free throws very consistently. So if he can do that, that would be fantastic for Kuminga.
Yeah, and yeah, I think since the new year, he's been shooting 80% from the floor, mm-hmm. but it's been up as of late, when 9 of 10 his last game. You know, because I also think that's important too. The Warriors have played a lot of close games, and outside of Curry, and I've kind of been begging for it all year, like the other guy that has to, I think, get them to the finish line from an offensive standpoint is JK. And that's a lot to ask of a 21-year-old. But especially in the postseason, we've seen teams just throw doubles or even triple, you know, box and ones, anything to essentially neutralize Steph. So someone else has got to be the consistent go-to that when the ball moves, that he can attack. And I think Kuminga has gain more confidence to be that player. The next step, I guess, is kind of maybe operating with also a mindset of, even though Curry's on the floor, I can still be a number one potential. I don't have to, you know, placate to him all the time. And a night like tonight against the Lakers, where they have a good interior defender in Davis, I'm curious to see if, when Steph comes back, and I don't think he'll be on a minutes restriction, but he might not be at the top of his game immediately. How's Kuminga going to play?
I think that's something all season long that they've been putting into Kuminga's head, too. Like, don't hesitate. Even if Steph's out there, no one can guard you. We've heard Draymond talk about this, and Draymond has been staying on Kuminga. That's another thing this season that's been very pleasant to see. Kuminga and Draymond have really bonded, and they've really started developing a relationship, whereas, you know, last year and stuff, that was kind of a topic of conversation. Like, oh, is Draymond not bonding with the young guys? Kuminga and Draymond have really bonded, and even Kuminga with CP3, they've developed a good relationship, which I think has really helped Kuminga be confident in who he is And like you said, the game's slowing down for him. And so he's like seeing the floor better. He's seen it all better. But that's, I don't know. I think his relationships with the older guys has really instilled that confidence in him. Like, I can attack. I can do this now. Even if Steph Curry's on the floor, Kuminga can do all these things. And I think moving forward, that's just what it's, you know, going to continue to have to happen.
And also the relationship with his head coach. I think Kuminga's gotten closer with Kerr.
Yep.
And maybe something like calling out playing time or his camp discussing his frustration with his role. You know, that's forced them to have difficult conversations, ones that we will never be privy to. But that also builds trust, because even though I think Kerr has maybe been reluctant to just give the keys of the kingdom to Kuminga, and understandably so, I think Kerr has a good understanding of where he needs his guys, especially young players. But he moves a little slowly. He's a little reactionary sometimes. But that kind of moment, that kind of tension or potential fracture, if Kuminga is the player and person that I believe he is, which is a loyal person, a hard worker, you know, smarter than people give him credit for, then those are moments that they can use to further their relationship that builds the confidence in Kuminga then on the court. Like, it's something that happens behind the scenes in the locker room, but then has manifested itself clearly on the court because Kuminga's played better. He's been more efficient. I think he's been more decisive, like you mentioned, Whit. But also, he's got more rope from Kerr. Like, he knows that if he makes a bad play or two or has a bad stretch, that he's not coming out of the game for the rest of the game. And that's big, because we've also seen some halves where Kuminga maybe hasn't played too well, but the second half, he'll get his 12 to 15 minutes, and he's been a different player. Yeah. That, I don't think we saw a lot of last year.
And I think that's where Kuminga and Kerr's relationship has really evolved, where it's like Kuminga's on the floor, so he feels more comfortable, because like you said, if he does make a mistake, he's not getting yanked immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, Kerr trusts him now to play through it. He's gonna figure it out. Whereas at first, even the beginning of the season, that trust just was not there yet. But he's completely earned the trust of Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, 100%. And I think that's just huge for this team moving forward. If that would have happened maybe a little bit earlier, would we have seen a little bit more from Kuminga? Maybe. But I think now that that has happened, that's where we've just seen Kuminga's growth go from here to like here, like 10 times more.
I think the Warriors also needing to lean more into kind of a smaller four or smaller five, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Draymond playing the five allows Kuminga to slide into the power forward position. That keeps him with Wiggins together. And I think that's always been the lineup to me. Those three in the front court have given them, you know, the potential for their highest ceiling, whatever that is. And it's probably going to end up, it's going to be a 9 or a 10 seed,
yeah,
most likely. But in the future, can Kuminga, I don't know, can he slide to the three? Is he going to remain at the four? Do they add more size behind him? How much better can he get defensively as a rim protector, as a rebounder, needing to do things that a guy who's going to have to play a little bit up, and that's where I think someone like Draymond Green is beneficial, because like Draymond's more of a dog than Kuminga, and I think always has. He's just always played with a chip on his shoulder, but he's always had to play up.
Yeah.
Like tonight against Anthony Davis, he's 6'11". Draymond's been given up 4 inches and 40 pounds his entire career. Kuminga, if he is going to stay at that position, which it appears to be right now, gives the Warriors the best chance to win, he's probably going to have to play against bigger guys. He's going to have to get stronger, whether he likes it or not. And so I think, you know, this type of stretch run, an elimination game or two, a potential playoff series also gives us a bit of insight as to how much better of a interior defender he can be.
Yeah, and my main thing with Kuminga that I would love to see from him is his rebounding, to improve his rebounding. When you have that athleticism, and I mean, you can see that. That's one thing with rebounding. It's, I don't know if it's so much just about like reading the ball, because like he has it, he could do it, but why doesn't he do more of it, you know? And that's rebounding. I think for him to continue to take his game to the next level, he has to rebound the ball more.
Yeah, he's got to rebound more. I think he's got to move the ball more.
Yeah.
You know, because the one thing that frustrates me watching Wiggins a lot, for example, is the ball just kind of stops.
Yeah.
It just kind of bogs down. It just sticks. It doesn't move. And I think Kuminga has more of a mindset to get others involved And that's really, I think, where if the game does slow down, his decision-making can take leaps, can take bounds, because he's only 21. He knows or feels like he can score on anyone. I don't know if he always can, but he feels like he can. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we... Like, Curry has mastered the aggression versus the facilitator. Like, he plays the one, he plays off ball. When is he a scorer? When does he need to play point guard? Kuminga is never going to be a point necessarily, but a point forward has always been something that's been key for the Warriors. Draymond Green and his assist numbers have typically been number one or number two on any great Warriors team. He doesn't play point guard. He doesn't play one, but he has the ball in his hands. If Kuminga can be another connector, you know, to me, I think that's also huge. So, and it doesn't necessarily manifest itself in terms of assists, but you're right. The rebounding and then the passing to me is still where there's a lot of room for growth. And I think that takes his game to the next level.
100%.
So I think also look, at the end of the day, everything does revolve around Steph. And as we kind of, you know, move forward into our next hour, the one thing I do want to kind of set up with here is, you know, we're watching tonight, 5:30 tip, Lakers Warriors, Crypto.com Arena, 95.7 The Game. Warriors live will be an hour before at 4:30. We're watching one of the final clash of two titans. You know, I think every NBA, every fan of the NBA or anyone who's got money invested in this league wants to see either LeBron James or Stephen Curry in the postseason, not just the play-in tournament. This is a probable 9-10 matchup tonight. So one of these two teams will likely get bounced. Now, how many more of these Steph versus LeBron games do we have? And what's left for Steph? You know, you brought it up earlier, Whit. I thought it was a good question. Like, what does Curry have to play for the rest of the year? I mean, in totality, you look at his career, not much. Like, he's got everything settled. He's got a fourth kid on the way. You know, he's got four championships. He's got MVPs. I guess he's got a chance to win a gold this summer in Paris. But what is left for Steph to play for? You know, I think a night like tonight is kind of where we can get into that individual competitor.
Yeah.
Like, Curry loves playing LeBron and vice versa. He loves to beat LeBron James.
And it's fun to watch.
It is.
Isn't that when he ripped the jersey? Wasn't that after the game? He had, what, 46?
The double OT loss? Yeah.
Brutal.
That was tough. That was a great game.
So much fun.
These Warriors-Lakers games are fun, even if they've resulted in some L's. Yeah, especially in Los Angeles. Again, they haven't beaten them in LA since October 19th of 2021. That, you hope, can change tonight. Because also, if it doesn't, you're going to be 9 or 10 regardless. But if you lose tonight, in all probability, you're going to have to go back to LA. Just because, you know, I think if they got one more game left in April against LA, but once you look at the tiebreakers, and this is why, again, the defeat to Dallas was tough, is because even if you win the head-to-head, the Warriors' conference record, which would be the secondary tiebreaker to a team outside of the division, is not where they need it to be. Mm-hmm. And against the Lakers, and then even the Kings, if they could fall, or the Suns, for that matter, if they fell off a cliff, they don't have the division record necessary to lock in that extra tiebreaker. So, you know, tonight, to me, is about the Steph and LeBron spectacle, and then the rest of the season is about how they can get their younger players to where they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about earlier how you want either LeBron or Steph in the playoffs. Like,
you do. Yeah, I do.
They're the ones. Yeah, I 100% do. Like, they're the ones that people want to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
888-957-9570 is the number. That's Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week. You know, are we watching one of the final clash of titans in Los Angeles? I think Steph versus LeBron is still the marquee matchup in the NBA, and we're going to get a taste of it. Like, if you watch the, you know, what, NBA countdown on ESPN, it's going to be all about these two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they have pushed the Warriors and Lakers narrative, and in many ways, they've kind of been in the same place of like, well, they're a dangerous team. Well, they can make a run. And at the end of the day, you look up and both of them are 3 or 4 or 5 games above 500. And they kind of have it one night and they don't have it another. Like, LeBron in Sacramento a few nights ago was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's going to be terrible tonight? No, because this is a game that he typically plays up for.
Yep.
You know, Curry's going to be back tonight in all probability, which likely means Draymond will be back. The Warriors at full strength, I think, like, the last week has been sobering, but it's also a reminder that the guys, the older players to me on the bench, like I looked at Dallas and that was a game to me that was important for the Clays, the CP3s, and the Wiggins to go get. Like, you still need your vets to win those games without a guy like Curry or Dre, and they couldn't do it. But yeah. How do they look in their relegated roles, in their normal roles?
Yeah. Did you think, though, that they really were going to go in there and get that win without Steph? Did you really think that those guys that you just mentioned, after the season, how it's gone, would step up to the plate and get the win in Dallas?
I wasn't optimistic about it. But again, that's where I was wondering if particularly Clay and Wiggins, I mean, Chris Paul's like he's a little older, but how can those guys carry you on a night where you need it? Not anymore.
No.
And that's a tough place to be, especially someone like Clay, who's got firecracker ability still off the bench. But also Wiggins, and it's why I know Wiggins ended up with like what 18-5 or something. A lot of it was in garbage time when the game was over, and that's why I don't have hope. And it kind of goes back to our first hour conversation that Wiggins is all of a sudden going to become unlocked. Like if people have used the word key in reference to Wiggins a lot for the Warriors' ceiling. I don't look at him like that anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever you get from him on a given night is gravy. I think what you get from Clay off the bench is gravy. Because you can't depend on those guys anymore. And as much as I love them, they contributed heavily to a championship 2 years ago. To put it the way that one of our texters on the Comcast Business Text Center, maybe it was on YouTube, 2 years ago was a lifetime ago.
It feels like a decade ago.
For this team. I mean, you and I were covering this group, and it does not feel like the same group. So what is the expectation for the final 17 games? What's your expectation for tonight? 888-957-9570 is the number. And also something, too, on the other side. You know, what's left for Steph to play for? What's left for Steph to get in his career? And how do the Warriors figure out where he is at in reference to where they are at as a franchise? That's Whitley Sandretto, Evan Giddings with you. We're back after this on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.